5:18. But when you get there, just give me a good amen. Amen. It says this. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Can we read it together? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God, praise God. What's coming up Thursday? We know it's Thanksgiving, and we're just going to talk about tonight. I told Brother Shane, I said, I don't even have a title. Amen. I had all these different, but I'm just going to title it Thoughts at Thanksgiving, and we're going to go with it. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you tonight and ask you to move and help us in a mighty way. We do thank you for your love and your kindness and the privilege to be in the house of God. What a privilege, Lord, to just come together and say thank you. And that we love you. And Lord, that we appreciate you, Lord Jesus. I do trust tonight you'll help us. And just ask you that you move in every life. And thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we do love you and thank you. Amen and amen. Praise God, praise God. Come Thanksgiving Day every single year, many of us are consumed with so many different thoughts. It's amazing what this time of year, what it brings in this holiday season, the hustle and the bustle and going here and going there and, I mean, presents. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, Christmas lights. My wife's already working on getting the tree up and all those good things. And she'd put it up in October if I'd let her. Amen. But we know that this time of year, this Christmas, I mean, this Thanksgiving Day that comes up each year, many of us give the nod to the pilgrims and the Indians and talk about making ready for the harsh first winter in the New World in 1620. So many different things that we could talk about history-wise, but I want to just talk to you tonight and give you a little bit of history and move into what our responsibility is as believers when it comes to Thanksgiving in the Bible. The tradition of setting aside a day to give thanks extends back to the earliest days of the U.S. The Continental Congress proclaimed the day of National Thanksgiving in 1777, and President George Washington proclaimed one in 1789. But after 1815, the practice disappeared until the year 1863 when President Abraham Lincoln, around the time of that Civil War, established the annual national holiday of Thanksgiving to be observed on the last Thursday in November. So we notice this today that Thanksgiving has a history to it. The fact that we are to give thanks as a nation and as a people, and we're still blessed to have our freedoms and to have, I mean, we're blessed to be Americans. That doesn't make us better than anybody. I've traveled this world, and I'm telling you that I've been in different countries, and I'm telling you today, we are a blessed people. I mean, if you can go to the spigot and turn it on and get water, if you have, I mean, heating and air, so what a wonderful thing to have. Cars and transportation and such a beautiful facility such as we have here, pews to sit on, padded pews to sit on. Amen. I mean, that's just a blessing, isn't it? That you can sit on a cushion and listen to the Word of God. I mean, all these things that we can be thankful for. And in America, we know we can trace it back to 1777, 1789, 1815, and finally establishing as an annual holiday in 1863. But for the Christian, the deepest roots of our Thanksgiving go back before Abraham Lincoln. It goes back before George Washington. It goes back before the Continental Congress. My Thanksgiving goes all the way back to 2,000 plus years ago, or around that 2,000 years ago, that there was a man named Jesus who went to Calvary and he died for us. We know that he gave his life for us. And what a wonderful thing about Thanksgiving, that story of old creation and that 2 millennia old climax, the story when Jesus came and how, what an amazing thing it was when he died on Golgotha and gave his life for you. And I've got something to be thankful for. I know that seems elementary to us nowadays, and that almost seems like something that we should just naturally do, but we don't do it enough, praise God. We need to do it every single day. We need to learn to say thank you. So we ought to understand this. I'm going to make some points to you, but then we got to keep Thanksgiving in perspective. Thanksgiving can be an ordeal for some. When you hear those words, we travel, we wear ourselves out cooking, we eat too much, then complain about being full, and sometimes I've even seen families bicker about what's going on in the kitchen. What will happen to you, amen? About who's going to do this or do that, but we
We must remember that by having food, simply having food in the fridge, clothes on our back, a roof over our heads, and a place to sleep makes us richer than 75% of the current world. Think about that today. If you're eating a good meal, you've got a place to call home and a bed to lay down in. You are richer than 75% of the world. Even if we have been hit by an economic downturn, most of us, my friend, you have to understand, we are in the top 8% of the world's most wealthiest people. Even some people that just live just basically as middle class people, you are very blessed. And the Bible gives us so many reasons to be thankful, and I can't cover them all tonight, but this is one perspective I thought was very interesting. I'm just going to read it to you just for the sake of Thanksgiving. This is one man's perspective of life. He says this. He says, for the clothes that fit a little too snug, he said, I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. Amen. We complain about our clothes being snug. Well, guess what? Isn't it good to have something to eat and have enough to eat? He said this, for all the complaining I hear about the government because it means that I have freedom of speech. Amen. He goes on to say this, for the alarm that goes off early in the morning hours because it means that I'm alive today. He says, for the teenager who's not doing the dishes but is in their room because that means that he or she's not out on the streets. Amen. Isn't that interesting? I like this man's perspective as it goes on. It goes on to say this, for the taxes that I pay, because that means I am employed. For the lawn that needs to be mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that needs to be fixing, because it means that I have a home. That gives you a new thing to worship God about on your honey-do list. Amen. At least you got a place to live. It goes on to say things like this, for the weariness at the end of the day, because it means that I am capable of working hard. For the parking spot that I can find at the far end of the parking lot, because this means that I am capable of walking and I am blessed enough to have transportation. That's another one for you. What this man is saying is that we need to learn to give thanks in all things, my friend. I mean, give thanks about everything. I know that's what our text says today. It says it is the will of God that we give thanks in absolutely everything, that we understand that from the car you drive to even your bad days or something that we can be thankful for. I read an illustration I thought was pretty interesting, and it's kind of comical, and just bear with me for the Thanksgiving spirit here tonight. But there was a man that was a part of the Moody Bible Institute. He was in a college there, and then he was leaving Mobile, Alabama by a Greyhound bus that morning, and he read a verse of scripture that I read to you today, that in everything give thanks. He said, so I'm going to make that a practice in my life. So he went there to the local Greyhound. He was going home, and he got on that Greyhound bus, and he sat down, and he said, Lord, thank you for this bus. I ain't got to walk today. He said, what a wonderful bus that I can be on. He found an open seat right by a window, and back in those days, from what I understand when this was written, this illustration was given, they did not have heating and air on buses back then, and he found a seat right beside the window, and he sat down beside that window, and he said, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful seat on this wonderful bus. I get to be beside the window. He said, it's a little hot and muggy outside. And he said, it's just wonderful. I get to be by this window and get fresh air. And then he was sitting there, and everybody gets on the bus. And he looks beside him, and the seat is empty. He said, Lord, I thank you today that I get to ride this bus. I get to sit beside a window, and nobody's sitting beside me. And I get to put my legs out. Lord, thank you today. Everything's just wonderful. About that time, the bus is about to take off, and all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door of the bus. And all of a sudden, the bus driver opens up the bus door there. And in walks this, what I understand, a very poor woman, and she was about, what this illustration says, that she was very large in size, and that she was not the cleanest looking person, maybe homeless or whatever the situation was. And all of the seats that were open, he said, she had to sit right beside me. He said, she was sweating, and I sweat over her forehead. And he said, about that, he said, Lord, I think I can deal with this. He said, about that time, she picks up a little boy, I guess her little child, and she sets the child her out, and he said that child was so unruly, he was kicking and screaming. He said she would pop his legs, and he'd scream even louder. And he said he thinks to himself, man, this is just not the best day that I thought. He said about that time, he said just it got to get real hot there. He said the smell wasn't the best. He said the kid is sitting there screaming and kicking. About that time, she reaches down and pulls out a cigarette, lights up a cigarette. He's sitting there. He said, I'm hot, I'm sweating. She's here with this little kid, he's kicking and screaming. He said, man, she's either homeless, she doesn't smell smelled the best. Now she's got a cigarette and she's puffing on that thing. And he said, about that time he looks beside her. She dozes off to sleep. The little boy falls asleep as well. Cigarette still in her mouth. And she's asleep and she begins to snore. And he thinks to himself, man, what a horrible day this is. And he said, begin to pray. He began to meditate as they were going down the road. He said, Lord, how in the world can I be thankful in such a horrible situation? Everything was going so good. He said, I got on the bus and thanked the Lord for it. I sit beside the window and thanked the Lord for it. There's a nice breeze and thanked the Lord for it. Open seat, thanked the Lord for it. All of a sudden, all these seats, she's going to sit right beside me. And it dawns on her. He said, what can I be thankful for? He said, I could be married to her. Amen. Wow. He said he thought about that and he smiled. He said, Lord, thank you. You're so good. Amen. The moral of the story is this, comical as it is, you can be thankful in all things. Amen. No matter how bad the situation is, you can find something to rejoice in. You can find something to be happy about. I know things in life may not always seem pleasant. But my friend, today I want you to understand that thanksgiving and thanksfeeling are something that must go hand to hand. I'll say it again. Thanksgiving and thanksfeeling. Now and then, as you understand this, now and then, it needs to be said that all thanksgiving is not thanksfeeling. What I mean by that is you don't always feel like being thankful. You don't always feel like saying this. You don't always feel like being thankful in every situation that you're in. And my friend, you can even force yourselves a time to act thankful, but that doesn't really do you justice. Hear me today, my friend. We know the story about little children. You ever seen a child before? He receives a present and he runs off in excitement, and the mom and the dad will go find the child and say, son or daughter, you need to go back and be thankful. You need to go tell grandma or granddad or uncle or whoever it is. You need to go tell them thankful. And that child's so excited, he can really care less where it came from. I mean, he is just happy to get a new toy. It's not that he's really thankful about it. And you can make that child say thank you, but he never feels that gratitude within his heart. But that may work for children, but it does not work as a believer. Amen. You've got to do more than just make yourself be thankful as far as lip service. And as far as that, Jesus even warns against vain worship. He said, the people that honor me with their lips but not their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. Thanksgiving without thanksfeeling is empty. It does not count with God. Thanksgiving, true biblical thankfulness and thanksgiving has to be an act of the heart. It cannot be mechanical. It cannot be prayer. You cannot force it. It's got to be an act of the heart. And if you're really born again and you're really on fire for God, not only will you say thank you, but you'll mean it when you say it. Not only will you say it, but it's not going to be forced. It's going to come from your heart. Genuine thankfulness is an act of heart affections, not an act of lip muscles. It is not real, but it is awakened. It is not a decision of the will, but a reflex of the heart. It happens to us, my friend, when we become aware of the goodwill towards us. Either we feel gratitude, or you're going to be ungrateful. You either have gratitude, or you're going to be ungrateful. If you're here today, and you're born again, you're saved, you're in this church. My friend, when you say thank you or thanksgiving towards God, it should not be something that you force yourself to do. It ought to be a natural reflex within your heart. It ought to just be there when you come to church to say thank you. It ought to be there when you wake up in the morning to say thank you. It ought to be there before you eat your food that you want to say thank you. It ought to be there when you go to job. You go to your job, say thank you. Everything you do, my friend, it ought to be a natural reflex of your heart as a believer to be thankful. You know what natural reflexes are, don't you? Let me just give you an example. If you're walking in the dark and somebody jumps out and scares you, you're going to put your guard up. And maybe you're just going to take, you know. I was in Africa one time, and me and my friends, you know, this is before me and Holly were married. We went to Africa for 2 weeks, me and a group of buddies. And I'm telling you, I don't know why I started it, but we started playing pranks on each other. I mean, you're looking out your back window, and you see folks with turbans on, and you see violent-looking people. I'm talking about you have crime and all that stuff. So we just got in the habit joking around. At the hotel there, I would hide behind a bush, and my friend Jeremy would come around the corner, and I'd jump out, like that at him. And he'd say, hey, you better stop that. And guess what? He did it to me a few routines. And my natural reflex was not to sit there and say, have a good day, or I hope you sleep well. My natural reflex is to defend myself because it's in me to want to protect myself. My friend, as a believer, your natural reflex ought to be hands raised, hearts raised towards heaven because you're thankful and you want to praise Him. My friend, it shouldn't have to be primed. It shouldn't have to be pumped up. It shouldn't have to be begged for. I'm a preacher, not a cheerleader. Amen. I'm not a drum major here. I'm not somebody who's going to say, look, give me a J, give me an E, S, U, S. I'm just going to say, look, if you love Jesus, why don't you talk to Him? And when you talk to Him, you're going to thank Him. That's what thanksgiving is. It's giving Him to do adoration. It's giving Him to do praise. It's a natural reflex. It shouldn't have to be something that's awakened every day. Every time somebody preaches, my heart says thank you. Every time a song is sung, my heart says thank you. It ought to be a natural reflex and an act of the heart. And all what it takes for us at times to awaken a heart of thankfulness. Sometimes tragedy. Sometimes just simply realizing what you have and how blessed you are. Oh, my friends, how many times is it that you almost get in a car wreck? And at the end of the car, you say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. I mean, you know what that is? And even though you love Him before then, it's just all of a sudden it's awakened within you. Man, I'll tell you, I could have been in a bad shape there. I could have been in a predicament. And all of a sudden, your heart, you don't have, nobody sitting there saying, thank you, Jesus. Won't you say it? No. You're saying you can be by yourself. You may have a shouting spell all by yourself because you know God's been good to you. And it's within your heart, my friend. Going through things and coming through the other side of that trial, we realize how grateful we ought to be, how thankful we ought to be. It may be in your health, it may be in a situation, but my friend, God will awaken thankfulness in our heart, and when it's in our heart, it becomes natural. Man, this is fundamental preaching. And that ain't always fun, because it's stuff we kind of like, no duh, we know that, Pastor Derek, I know that. Live it. I know you know it, live it. Amen. You know what fundamentals are, don't you? I know I'm not much of an athlete at all, but I did play a little bit of basketball before. And I had a coach that was, he was staunch on fundamentals. I mean, everything rhymed too. You know, one time in baseball, he says, Mike Dyke can squish the bug. You don't have a clue what that means. It means one, this shoulder's named Mike, this was named Ike. He said, you turn your hips. He said, squish the bug with your back foot there. And guess what? Every time I got up the bat, even today, if I'm playing softball, I'm talking to Mike and Ike and I'm squishing the bug. What is that? It's called fundamentals, my friend. Don't make much sense to you, but it made sense to him. And he knew that if he could get our bodies to do things naturally, if it's on basketball or baseball or whatever it is, he said, if I can get fundamentals within you, he said, you'll be 40 years old still able to hit a 3-point shot. Now, I can hit them at 20, but I can't promise you nothing until I'm 29. I got one more year before I'm there, or 30. But he said, fundamentals will never leave you. It'll stay with you, my friend. That's why as believers, we've got to get back to the fundamentals. We've added so many things, my friend. That's all right to add some things that are good and wholesome, my friend. But we've got to get back to the fundamentals, such as prayer and fasting and reading and thankfulness and faith and believing. They're just simply fundamentals for the believer. My friend, we've got to have a thankful heart. I know I've read this testimony to you before, but I want to read it to you again tonight and in this Thanksgiving message. Many of you remember 9/11, and some of you remember this story. There was a woman there by the name of Janelle. Her name was Janelle McMillan, if I'm not mistaken. She had been raised as a Roman Catholic in her native Trinidad, where she lived in Trinidad. But after coming to the United States in 1998, she put her religion on the back shelf. You know that happens a lot, and it's a shame. People come to America and backslide. I don't get it. Amen. It's sad, isn't it? But yeah, she was Roman Catholic already and needed to meet the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. But she came to America. She thought she could do whatever she wanted, that there was no relation, no nothing there. She said, I was in it for the glitz and the glamour, she says. She said, I had a good job. She said, I had money. I had a boyfriend. She said, I had a child. She said, I had a nice New York apartment. She said, everything was swell in my life. She said, I just loved life to its fullness. The story goes on, and you have to read it yourself. The story goes on. I think she was on the 66th floor of the World Trade Center when it was attacked in 2001. And she said the way the story goes, that somebody came in and said, "You need to evacuate the building." Then a plane had hit it. I don't know exactly which floor it was, but I know this. She said everybody took off running for the stairwell because the elevators were not working. She said she got to the stairwell and she began running down, and she had high heels on. Of course, she had to take them off as she's running down. She said it was a stampede of people. If I'm not mistaken, she got down to the 13th floor. She said all of a sudden, the best she can describe it, she said it sounded like a million bowling balls coming down the steps behind her. She said all of a sudden, instantaneous, it went completely black. She said when she came to, she said, in the rubble now, her thoughts, she was there. She said all of a sudden, she said she couldn't see anything. She said all she knows is that everything was black. And she said all she can remember seeing was floor number 13. And she knew there was 100-something stories, and all of them were on top of her. She said, "I'll never get out of this." She reached around and come to find out she was laying on another body. She said, as the hours go by, she said she could hear screams through the night. And she lay there and tried to get in a comfortable position. She just said she was laid and stuck in one place. She couldn't move an arm, if I'm not mistaken. And she said, being claustrophobic to all of us, or to a certain extent, not wanting to be trapped, she said. She was so miserable. And she said this. She said, in the rubble, in the darkness, her thoughts turned to God. She said, "I knew that this building consists of 110 stories. And I knew that the one was going to find me. He was going to find me underneath 90-something floors." She said she remembers telling herself, "I was prepared just to close my eyes and pray, and I don't have to suffer underneath this rubble. If I could just die, everything would be all right." She said as she closed her eyes, she thought about her daughter Kimberly at that time, 12 years old. She said, I could just see my daughter's face there. And she said that. Then she remembered her fiance Roger, when she said he was still waiting. Was he still waiting for her at the place that they were supposed to meet at afterward? She said she asked God for a favor. "Lord," she said, "Lord, if you could do me this one favor, can somebody at least just find my body?" She said she didn't want to be on the missing list. She said she knew there'd probably be several people missing. She didn't want to be on that list there. She said, "Lord, if they could just find my body." And as she was praying, she said, "If I have to die, I was hoping that they would recover my body." Then she said, and then she thought a little more about her daughter again. And she said, "God, I know I'm pressing you, and I never lived for you before. And here I am at a time where I know I'm forced to pray pretty much." She said, "But Lord," she said, "I'd love for them to find my body. But," she said, "Lord, I just got a question, Lord." She said, "Can I just maybe make it to the hospital and just see the face of my daughter one more time?" She said, "Lord, just that final favor." She said, "If you can just see my face." And as she laid there, she prayed again. She said, "I began to get bold as I was praying." She said, "Lord, I would love for them to find my body. I would love to see my daughter's face one more time." She said, "Lord, but my final prayer is this. Can I just live?" I thought to myself as studying and reading the story, how thankful would you be if the only request you could ask for is not a new car, not a raise, or a new home, but what if the only thing you desired was just to live? Oh my. Think about that. If you weren't worried about a raise or where you're going to eat at or how big the turkey is going to be at Thanksgiving or all these different things, and all you can do is simply lay there and ask God for one thing. You knew you were about to die, and the only option was this. "Lord, I'm going to die, but my Lord, my one request is this. Can I live?" I would tonight that somebody say this. "Look, I wish I could just live. I wish I just could live and do the will of God." She said, "Lord, if you let me live, I promise you this." I said, she was praying to God. She said, "Lord, if you save my life, give me a second chance. I promise I will live, and I promise I will do your will." My Lord, I wish tonight that somehow we could just pray and seek God to the place where God wouldn't have to take everything from us, where we wouldn't have to be stuck underneath 90-story buildings to pray a prayer like this. "Lord, let me live and let me do your will." It shouldn't take a car wreck for you to pray that. It shouldn't take you being trapped underneath a building to pray that. That ought to be the prayer of the believer every day. "Let me live and let me do your will." Wouldn't it be amazing if we prayed that and meant it? My word. Takes us being chastised, and I trust that it's never the case. What does it take to wake us up to the will of God? "Lord, I want to live and I want to do your will. McMillan remembers saying that prayer over and over again. She had no idea how many times she repeated it or how many hours passed as she repeated the prayer. Now she saw that she's telling the story. It's unbelievable as you read the story, because guess what? At the end of the search party, I forget how many days it was, but all of a sudden the fireman one day was walking among the rubble and she's searching for the dead there. He looks down in that rubble and all of a sudden she says she fell. She had one hand that was free. And she was praying, "Lord, let me live." And in that prayer, "Let me live," she said, "Maybe I can just reach up. Maybe I can just reach up." And as she reached up there, all of a sudden a fireman grabbed hold of her hand. And here it is, this lady, her name's last name McMillan. She was the last survivor that was found in 9/11. You read the story yourself. The very last woman that was found. She said, "You know what? I've got so much to be thankful for." She said, "What if they quitted the person right before me? What if that fireman didn't walk past my way at the right time? What if I didn't have one arm free? What if I didn't have consciousness?" She said, "I'd be dead today." I'm telling you, friend. She said, "I've got something to be thankful about." She said, "I got something to praise God about." She got married. Now she goes to Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, sings in the choir. She speaks at Christmas events, and even thinking about writing a book, she said, "I've got something to be thankful for." Amen. Guess what, friend? I hadn't been underneath the 90-story building. Hadn't been to the place I said, "Lord, let me live, or I'm about to die." But I've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Shouldn't take God taking everything from us for us to be thankful. Take some people, God stripping them threadbare before they recognize how great He is and how holy He is. But no, sir, we're going to be reminded. We should never have to be always reminded about giving thanks today, my friend. There's so much we can say about thankfulness in the Word of God. But I do know this, when we look at that word thanksgiving in Scripture, it means gratitude. It means an act of gratitude. It means a grateful language to God. It's an act of worship. Thankfulness, giving of thanksgiving. My friend, that's simply what it means. It is just simply a confession of His thankful, of His greatness to you and His faithfulness to you. That's all it is, my friend. I want you to just search your minds today. How good has God been to you, honestly, this year, in 2015? Analyze your life. What has God done for you? Have you breathed? Have you worked your job? Have you been healthy? Have He given you another year to work for Him? There's so much you can be grateful for, and that is what Thanksgiving is. It's not about a turkey. Thank God for it. I love turkey when it's cooked right. I love turkey, and you do too. I know tonight I'm just kind of casually talking to you, but you know, we're going to be with our, some of you have had families we get to be with. Some I know some of you don't have as much family. But I'll tell you this, regardless of your family status, how big your family is, how small it is, you have so much to be thankful for. Have so much to be thankful for. We understand in the Old Testament, Leviticus 7 and 12, it says, "If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving." Sometimes, Lord, give, sometime giving a thanks unto the Lord. It may be a sacrifice of praise, which means that doesn't mean your circumstances are always right. It may be something that you do out of effort. It's something you do. It's from your heart and everything. It may be in the form of a sacrifice, my friend. We look at the Passover, and you see them sitting around the table. And Jesus says this, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Notice this. He's about to go to Calvary. They're about to whip him with a cat of nine tails. They're about to put nails through his hands and feet. And this is what the Bible says, "And when he had given thanks," you can give thanks in the shadow of Calvary. You can give thanks in your darkest hour. It does not change the fact of God's faithfulness. It does not mean your circumstances are right. But it does mean this, that God is good and faithful regardless, and His will be worked in your life, my friend. We can be thankful. Just picture it as those, the children of Israel, do it in remembrance of that day in Exodus chapter 12. They sit around the table, and there, even throughout the centuries there of Judaism, as they're sitting there and they're looking, and they sit around that table and they partake of that lamb. And they're sitting there, my friend, and they notice this. They say this. They say, "We are thankful for this lamb, for the blood that was shed of this lamb back in the Exodus, that we were able to get out of Egypt." I don't know about you today, but this Thanksgiving would be good, and it'd be a good thought to bring to mind that I'm thankful for the Lamb of God. Amen. I know you may eat turkey and dressing and there ain't a lamb on the table, but guess what? You can thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus. I know you don't keep Passover, eat bitter herbs, and sing the hymns out of the Hallel. That's all right. You can still be thankful for family and friends and all of these things. Do you know that even when it comes to our prayer life, that thanksgiving is critical? Let me read to you in Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer, yes, he's talking about prayer there. Notice what the next verse says. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So first he tells us to pray. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Sometimes our prayers sound like we're complaining and arguing and looking to get out of jail free card. That's got to be more to your prayer life than that. No matter what state you're in, you can be thankful for the will of God. And he said, when you're thankful, if it's in tragedy, if it's in the death of a loved one, he said, when you pray with thanksgiving, making your request being made known unto God, it says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Sometimes you don't have peace because you ain't thankful in your prayer life. What a challenge to all of us. To me too. I want to be more thankful in my prayer life. He says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Notice this. That means that my understanding is only so big. My understanding reaches only so high. But that peace of God, when I pray in thanksgiving, it's out of my heart. And my body may not feel the best. My circumstances may not be the best. But I'm praying with thanksgiving. My understanding is here. But the peace of God will be way up there. It passes my understanding. My understanding is limited. But God's peace surpasses that. Yes, I may not have all the answers, but I know this, that He's faithful and will give me peace even in the midst of my circumstances. The Bible says, be content whatever state you're in. It's a challenge, isn't it? Help us. I mean, I'm just saying, help me. It may not bother you as much, but there's times. There was one preacher, I think he was, I don't want to put him in the wrong denomination, but he was in a denomination. And he was up in Maine. And he was having a time. What we understand, he was having a rough time. He called the overseer. I think he was down somewhere down south. He called the overseer. He said, hey, I want out of here. The overseer said, hey, what do you mean? He said, they're driving me plumb crazy. They don't listen. He said, they don't want a pastor. He said, they want a puppet. He said, I don't want to be here. He's driving me crazy. The overseer said, hey, Paul said, be content in whatever state you're in. He said, yeah, Paul never came to Maine. He's never been in the state of Maine. Amen. Say that as a joke, but praise the Lord. Help us be content. Amen. Look, we're blessed. That doesn't mean that you'll never get a new car and that you'll never buy something new, because I'll tell you this, contentment will bring you with great gain. It'll propel you into the kingdom. If you learn to be content with the things of God and what He has provided for you, my friend. I don't want to be like the children of Israel. I don't know about you. They come out of Egypt, but they cannot be grateful. The ingratitude is so noticeable in their lives that they are not grateful. That's what the Bible, I'm going to give you some scripture rundown here in the book of Psalms. It says this, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let him give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness, for His wonders, for the sons of men. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell Him His works with joyful singing. It goes on to say this in Psalms 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Thy name, O Most High. Ephesians 5 and 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father. Colossians 3 and 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him and to God the Father. It says in Hebrews 13 and 5. Through Him then, let us continue to offer up sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. My friend, thanksgiving should fill our speech, our songs, our prayer, our devotion, our life, our Sunday services, our Wednesdays. The Bible says give thanks all of the time. Let me take you back to the illustration of a child. It shouldn't take somebody making you say thank you. It ought to be natural. Amen. I've got so many thoughts so scattered tonight I want to talk about, praise the Lord. But I just simply want you to say thank you to the Lord. Amen. It says Jesus gave thanks. My Lord, if He should give thanks, how much should you and I? The sinless Lamb of God. I mean, came to this world. He needed no intercessor. I mean, He was the Son of God. He's still the Son of God. Amen. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But notice this. At the time, at the feeding in Matthew 11, it says this. At the time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. But I'm glad I know truth tonight. John 6 and 11, and Jesus took the loaves. And when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. John 11 and 41, and they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. There's so much to be thankful about. So much to be thankful about. But the tragedy is this, we read in Romans 1 and 21. This is what it says. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I believe the reason the Bible puts so much emphasis on giving thanks and thanksgiving and thanks praising to God is because there's a tendency in human nature to kind of get used to and accustomed to the blessings that are in their life. You know that it's true, my friend. We get accustomed to the blessings all of the time. And that's why we got to keep our hearts cultivated to be thankful. How do we keep our heart of thankfulness is the question tonight. I won't be much longer. How do we do this? In an age where we have so many customs and so many good things, how do I keep our heart of thankfulness when I go to the kitchen sink? Amen. I've turned that spigot on a lot this week. Amen. I need to say thank you more. How do I say thank you? Everything I do. Let me read to you in Ephesians again. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, tonight, the way that you can stay thankful from these verses is get filled with the Spirit and come to church. Amen. The Spirit of God won't let you forget. Amen. Jesus won't let you forget. But also, do you know why we come to the house of God? We should encourage each other to thankfulness. That's why He says this. He says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father. He said, when you come together, He said, look, speaking to yourselves. And so He said, look, my friend, we ought to encourage one another to be thankful. That's why when you come to church, your worship is to be thankful. I read about that early church. Oh my, how they kept a mindset of thankfulness all of the time. I want to challenge you today as we're about to come to a close. I want you to challenge. I did this just recently and I kind of got on myself some. You know, I don't know if you know, I'm harder on myself than anybody. You think anybody harder on myself than I am, I promise. I beat myself. Asked my wife. But I said, Lord, I went over some complaints that I thought to myself a while. You know, you ever had a complaint before you thought to yourself? You never made it verbal, but you know, you thought to yourself. And you know, you're talking to yourself a little bit. As long as you don't answer yourself, they say it's all right. But some of the complaints we have are pathetic. It's just a fact. I have so much to be grateful for. Me and my wife, I was joking with her last night. I said, look, I don't want to hear no complaints. I said, we're going to have a good Thanksgiving meal. I said, we'll argue about the size of a turkey. And we're joking around about my family this year. We're going to deep fry it or put it in the oven. We're not really arguing about it, but one day we have preference. We're joking about it, really. And I was joking with my wife last night. I said, I don't care if it's deep fried or put in the oven. I said, because I've been to mud huts. They have a bowl of rice. And they're being thankful. And I'm not being super spiritual. It's just a joke amongst us. What am I saying? I said, you know what? I ain't complaining about the color of the carpet. I'm glad I've got it, man. I'm not going to complain about having to go up the steps because I'm glad there's a bedroom and a bed up there. I'm glad there's a shower. All these things, my friend. What I'm saying is we can be thankful in all things. Amen. Can we stand on our feet tonight? I've got more I could say, but I don't want to wear it out. You get the point. Amen. Thanksgiving's coming up. And my wife, she'll make her way to the piano.
and how to do an altar call sometimes. You know, I don't have it all figured out. Sometimes I feel like God gives me direction. Other times I just feel like telling you to be thankful. And other times I know we'd encourage each other. And other times I say, God, I hope you move. We just got all different preferences. I want God just to have His way in our hearts. But what I want to do tonight, this is just in my heart. More than giving a perfect altar call or saying just the right thing, I want your thanksgiving to be a natural reflex in your spiritual life. I want it to be something you work towards. Amen. I know tomorrow's Monday. It's hard to be thankful when that clock goes off in the morning. But Amen. I've got responsibilities as a pastor. Things that I'm thankful. I said, Lord, make me thankful or help me to be thankful for doing those things. Amen. I want you to just right now in your mind, just you know you better than anybody else. I thank God that God doesn't show everybody each other's hearts all the time. You know you. All of us have things that get to us. And what I mean by that is things that in this world that bother us. Things that we wish were better. There's things right now in my family. I wish there was healing. Physically. There's those I've loved. Many things I love. Things I want to do in this life. I'm always pushing us. I know sometimes I feel like I push too much. But pushing myself. I want to do more for God. But I'm thankful for what we've already done for God. Amen. Sometimes God will not progress us further until we're thankful for what He's already done. Amen. If we have a child that always wants something new and never grateful for what he has, we label him as a brat. We've got a lot of Christians that are the same way. We tell a child, you know, you ought to be more grateful. I tell you, as a believer and a child of God, we need to be more grateful. Amen. I want us today, I know there's many things in every life, but can we just come to these altars and tell God, thank you, not forced, but as a natural feeling in your heart. And when you think of His goodness, it naturally produces that feeling that I want to be thankful. Amen? Amen. Can we find us a place to pray tonight? Come find your place to pray before Thanksgiving coming up. Let's be thankful. I know some can't get down or some can't leave the pews. That's all right. God sees you where you are. God's faithful and true. I just want to tell you thank you, Lord. I just want to tell you thank you, Lord. Amen.